The pitfalls of trying to figure out the new tax law in a hurry. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. We've been reporting on the rush of people to prepay property taxes in some states. Once the new tax law goes into effect in 2018, people can only deduct $10,000 worth of state and local taxes. So many were hoping paying early might get them an extra deduction on their 2017 taxes. Yesterday, the IRS issued an advisory on this maneuver. To explain, I'm joined by Robertson Williams of the Tax Policy Center. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is the IRS telling all these people who've been scrambling to prepay their taxes?
Essentially, they're saying you can pay the property taxes ahead of time if you have a formal assessment of what those taxes are. You can't just send money to the government and say, put this on my tab to pay taxes down the road. You have to actually have an assessment and a tax bill, effectively, in order to prepay the taxes for next year.
And this has to do with how counties do their assessments, when they start and stop the year of their assessment, right?
That's correct. For example, Fairfax County in Virginia sends assessments out in February for the current tax year. So taxpayers in that county will not receive their 2018 bills until sometime after February, once the assessments are made. At this point, people can only guess what the taxes would be, and the IRS has said that's not good enough.
And so lots of people in Fairfax County may have stood in line to try and prepay those taxes. What does that mean for them?
Effectively, it means they've got money sitting in Fairfax County's coffers. The county can decide whether to return that money or just hold it and wait and see what happens. The point is, from the IRS perspective, those taxes are not deductible on the 2017 tax returns that we'll file next April. They really haven't saved any money on before the new tax bill takes effect.
This has been confusing for people, obviously, in the last couple of weeks and days. What does this tell us about how the rest of this tax law will be implemented?
In general, tax changes aren't that complicated. This is particularly confusing because the rules change so abruptly, affecting relatively few people, but high-income people in high-tax states. Those people are saying, let me see if I can take advantage of this and save a few dollars on this year's taxes in anticipation of higher taxes next year.
Robertson Williams is a senior fellow at the Tax Policy Center. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up about a tenth of a percent this morning. Asian markets ended the trading day there mixed, with the Nikkei down 0.6% and the Shanghai Composite up by the same amount.
December 31st is coming up fast, and that means time is running out to make your tax-deductible donation to support Marketplace. Your gift not only tells us that you value what we do, it also helps us do more of it and reach more people as well. Objective, trustworthy journalism matters. We hear from listeners like you every day that Marketplace helps people understand the financial forces that affect their lives so that they can make better decisions. This is your chance to be a partner in our efforts to raise economic intelligence across the country. For as little as $5 a month, become a Marketplace investor today. Donate online at marketplace.org. And thanks for making a difference.
This week, we've been following up with American communities affected by natural disasters this year, checking in on their recovery. In September, the U.S. Virgin Islands were hit by not one, but two Category 5 hurricanes in the span of 12 days. Hurricanes Irma and Maria knocked out electricity for nearly all of the island's 100,000 residents, wiped out homes and storefronts, and damaged hospitals and schools. Kenneth Mapp is the governor of the U.S. Virgin Islands, which includes St. John, St. Croix, St. Thomas, and other small surrounding islands. When I spoke to him, I asked him about those first days after the storms.
The first 12 days, we were trying to respond to Irma. We were dealing with life issues, rescuing people. Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines and Norwegian Cruise Lines in the immediacy were really very helpful in getting folks out. And we were responding to the needs of folks, particularly in St. Thomas, St. John, people that lost roofs, people that needed to get to shelters. So we were really recovering, clearing roads, and we had even started some power restoration on St. Thomas, St. John. And then, of course, 12 days later, Maria came to the south of the Virgin Islands where St. Croix is at. We literally had to start all over again.
So how is the recovery going so far?
Well, it's going well. We're back and open for business. We have cruise ships. The airlines are increasing their flights back. The main and secondary roads are pretty much clear. Schools are open. We have still medevaced our patients because our hospitals were severely damaged. So we have patients on four states on the U.S. mainland. Power restoration is still moving. The drivers for our economy is really going to be reconstruction as the insurance claims are paid, as businesses start reconstructing, as homes start reconstructing. And then, of course, much of the federal assistance that goes to individuals and that will go to the government, all of those will drive the economy, creating jobs and getting people back out to work.
Governor Mapp, how long do you think this recovery will take?
Well, from beginning to when we say we've put the last nail in the last building, well, you can expect maybe 4 to 5 years. I try to give people reference points. Louisiana is a lot bigger. Katrina hit a lot more land. It's 12 years out. And Louisiana is still under recovery. Hurricane Sandy is 6 years out. Folks are still, the federal government is still spending money to repairs in places in New York and New Jersey and Long Island affected by Sandy. It's just disasters require long-term recovery because, particularly in our case, we're talking about a lot of mitigation and resilience in terms of the power system. Get a bit of it underground. We are going to build smaller hospitals and harden them and make them smarter. We don't need 250-bed hospitals. We're going to 100, 125 on each island. We lost 9 schools. We're going to rebuild 6 of them. This is just going to be a long process, and we try to manage that expectation. But, you know, it gets better. Each month gets better, and it just provides tremendous dollars in the economy, and it provides jobs. And so we just have to do what's required.
Kenneth Mapp is the governor of the U.S. Virgin Islands. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Head over to Marketplace.org to hear our conversations with local officials about recovery efforts in Northern California, Texas, and Florida. Tomorrow, we'll hear about one town's recovery in Puerto Rico. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.